We thought it would be fun to share the story of how we ended up with 6 acres of land completely debt-free by the grace of God.
Sounds great now. We had no idea.
The roller coaster of the journey was crazy. So we, in 2018, towards the end of the year, we decided we wanted to do a homestead and that we wanted to do pasture-raised chickens. So we started looking for land.
On Zillow and on every online listing and we would drive random neighborhoods that we liked looking for sale signs and things like that.
Yeah, and then the day after Christmas, we saw a piece of property, 11 acres, for sale for 30, no. 37,000?
39? 39,000.
39,000, yes. 39,000. So then the next day, Scott went and looked at it, really liked it, went ahead and made the offer on it for 30,000.
30,000.
I hadn't even seen it yet, but Scott really liked it and I trusted him, so called, made the offer. So then the guy responded with 32,000 and we were like, awesome, we accept it. 11 acres for $32,000. Then the next day I went with Scott to go look at the piece of land. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful property on rolling acres, and there was one thing that did kind of concern us because it said there was restrictions, but so many people told us, oh, no one listens to restrictions. Who cares? So we're like, okay, who cares? Like,
gonna build a tiny house.
Yeah, our goal was to do a tiny house on it or a garage apartment on it. And we were like, great, we could do that on here. Well, so we've closed on the sale at the end of January 2019.
And we did that with a mortgage. So we put our 20% down and took out a mortgage with the bank.
A 10-year loan. And so our monthly payment was only $300 a month for the land, which was awesome. And
we set up our garden on it, did a bunch of raised beds.
We thought we were gonna build on it. Our goal was to get on the land by August. We pursued builders. We went ahead and started having a vegetable garden on the land by faith that we were gonna be able to live on it come August. And plan after plan after plan just kept
falling
falling
through.
through, and builders kept falling through, and
Prices were exorbitant.
builders could charge whatever they wanted for it. Our little garage apartment that we had designed that with a builder. The builder did the whole architect, everything. It was like literally exactly what we wanted. And it came back to be $100,000 for was it 20 foot by 20 foot?
Pretty much.
Garage with
Yeah.
an apartment above it.
And I started researching, like, maybe we should build our own,
Yeah,
like.
then Scott went on the journey of like, I think I can build our own house. Well, meanwhile, we were trying to get around. We did have restrictions on the land, and we bought land on a lane, which that was where the restrictions became a problem
Yeah,
because,
all the other owners on the lane.
yeah, the and by lane, it was this private drive is a better way to say it. And so each property owner had at least 5 acres. We had 11 acres. But the restrictions were for the entire private lane. And so if one of the neighbors think you're breaking the
They
restrictions,
can
they can
see
take
you.
you to court.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to do that. We wanted to get along well with the people who had property around us. And so we tried our best to get around restrictions and we just never felt peace about it. And then we were going back and forth of like, God, you led us on this journey. You opened the doors for us. We had money for the down payment. And it just feels so hard and so discouraging. A lot of like, did we
Do the wrong thing, buy the wrong land, pick the
Like, should
wrong
we have
place.
waited?
Yeah.
Did we rush it? We didn't feel like we were rushing it at the time, but then looking back, it's like, did we
Yeah.
rush into this? And we had never done this
Yeah.
before. This was our first time ever. This was our first
Yeah.
huge like investment.
And we battled with all those doubts, you know, like, oh man, did we make the wrong decision? Did we do the wrong thing? In July, we found ourselves getting on a Dave Ramsey kick and really going hard after all of our debt, paying off all of our debts except for this land mortgage. And we would always and ah whenever we were listening to Dave's podcast, because we're like, oh man, you know, it's an investment and it's going to be our home and And he would always say, if you had the same amount of money, on the table, would you buy this again? You know, so for instance, the loan we had out was for like $26,000. Mm-hmm. If we had $26,000 on the table in front of us, would we take it and buy this piece of land again? And we'd be like, yes, no. Like we'd go through like phase of like, all right, let's just sell the whole thing. Yeah. And then we'd go through phases of, but land's a good investment, mm-hmm. hold on to it.
And we're gardening on it.
You know, and we're gardening on it. And then you get into this thing of like, well, you know, it'll be a good inheritance for our children, or it'll be a good investment property 10, 20 years down the road. Let's hold on to it. And fascinatingly enough, the solution that actually ended up coming out was when we were packing up to, we were leaving and felt God called us to another place. So we were like, let's sell the whole property is the kind of piece we got. It's like, let's sell the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Let's just sell
close
it.
Close this season.
Close this season. But we had all of our garden stuff on the one plot. We didn't have the time to get all of our things
well, it was
off of the plot.
Like winter. So mm-hmm. to move all that garden stuff is like a lot of work in the winter. Yeah.
And we don't have a truck and where were we going to put it?
Yes.
And blah, 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 blah.
Like our raised beds, things mm-hmm. that we would want to move and keep.
So instead of selling the whole thing, we said to the real estate agent, let's just put up the one plot for sale and sell that. And we'll deal with this other one when we get back from South Africa. And he's like, well, it's probably not going to sell. It's in the middle of
winter.
And
the one lot was 5 acres. Mm-hmm. So 5 acres. We have a 5-acre, 3-acre, 3-acre.
Yeah.
That made up the 11 acres.
Yeah. So he's like, it's probably not going to sell. Just leave the whole thing till you come back from South Africa. And we're like, no, let's just put it up and see what happens. And so then he said, well, how much do you want to put it up for? And I was like, I think we prayed again and
we
felt,
did pray.
What did we feel? Like 29?
We felt 30, but he said for real estate reasons to put it up for 29 to make it so it's lower mm-hmm. than 30.
Well, he actually said to put it up at 24.
Yeah, he said really low to
and
begin
we're like,
with.
Eh. So we had 25 grand left on our mortgage. And so we thought, well, if we put it at 29, then we have some wiggle room. But when we sell it, we clean our whole mortgage. Mm-hmm. And we had 10 days before we left the country, and someone offered 22. And like in our hearts, we're like,
and it was
oh
literally like 6 days after we had posted this sale.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh my gosh, someone already jumped on it. What do we do? We weren't expecting someone to...
And are we being greedy? Like, should we just take the 22 and then we only have 3 grand left on our mortgage? Like, that's better than what it is now. And
we prayed about it again.
Yeah, we felt
peace. I felt like we heard Psalm 27. And at the end of Psalm 27, it says, wait upon the Lord. Again, I say, wait upon the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we were like, it's
so,
a sign.
Yeah, so I called the real estate agent and I said, we're happy to wait. So,
and then in my mind though, I was like, Psalm 27, okay, if they come back with something, like if they have a counter offer, we'll then counter them with 27,000.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened. They came back with
25,
and then we said 27 and they accepted. Yeah. And so we sold the whole thing in 10 days,
mm-hmm.
Canceled our mortgage and got like a couple $100,
$1,000,
over mm-hmm. in cash. And we're like, wow, like that's really amazing. And so we were able to come to South Africa with, so we still have 6 acres, debt-free. All we pay is the taxes on it, which is mm-hmm. a couple $100 a year.
It's just, it was an amazing lesson. And it felt like it ended that season with our land well, because we went back and forth with our land throughout that
whole year. We
didn't
know what we were doing.
Yeah,
most of the time.
Yeah, we didn't. And we were like, we thought we were following you, God. We were listening to you. And now
this is a disaster.
This is terrible. But it was so much fun now looking back that we're on the other side of it. We learned so much. We learned so much about gardening. We learned so much about buying land and what to look for. We will never buy land with restrictions again. We will never buy land that's on a private lane where you have to make decisions with your neighbors on what you can do and if you can have chickens. We also learned how big 11 acres is, and to start a homestead, you really don't need 11
acres.
Yeah,
our 3-acre plot was perfect.
I think when you buy anything for the first time, you have this mindset of this has to be our forever piece of property, or this has to be our forever home. And it's great to think of it in that way because you steward it really well, but also to hold it with hands wide open. With our land, we were always like, Lord, this is your land. Mm-hmm. You have blessed us with this piece of land. You've blessed us with the ability to buy it, and if at any time you want us to give this back, then we will do it. And I think because we had that mindset for the entire 12 months that we owned it, there was sadness. Yeah. There's a lot of memories there, a lot of precious memories that we had there. That was a tool to get us to where we need it to be. Now, we're not even going to live in that area anymore. We're moving to another state when we get back. So that piece of land was a blessing for that season that we were in.
One of the things Dave always says is that the average home ownership length in America is 3 to 5 years. So every 3 to 5 years, someone will sell or change house. And it's like, whoa, that's crazy. But it's like, in our life, it's definitely been true. Almost every year, we've lived in a different place. And we obviously would love to settle down and do the boomer thing of staying in one place for 40, 50 years. But I think our mindset is we need to find that perfect place to spend the next 50 years. And then we end up overstressing, overthinking it. Whereas I think if we just say, all right, like, I've got peace about this place and let's see where this goes. I think that was a big lesson for us in looking for property. And yeah, you know, we'd all love big, huge acreages, but my ability to steward that is like, oh my gosh, there's a huge learning process that it's okay to have a small property to start with. And Joel Saltonoy says he hasn't seen a farm that's full yet. Like, there's always something else you can do on this piece of land. It's never full. And so that's just been a great encouragement to us now, because when we go back to Ohio, land prices are astronomically higher than Kentucky. And so, you know, trying to find land there is going to be a hugely different thing, but all the principles apply.
Even when you have no clue what you're doing, it's amazing how he will bless what you're doing. And we ended up making money off of
a mistake.
Off of, yeah, what we would have considered a mistake at the time.
Blessing of the Lord makes rich and
adds no sorrow.
Adds no sorrow. Amen.